Hey, hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that continues to champion the local comic book shop. Always broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, Chris. Thanks to us.
Thanks to us.
And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I gather every week to talk comics and to...
enlighten the masses.
Enlighten the masses.
Hey, and you know what? Did you get the memo?
The memo?
There's a memo. Memo went out from CFMU.
Oh, that memo.
Yeah, that memo.
Am I supposed to read those?
Well, maybe you should every once in a while.
Okay.
Apparently, they're on track. The final tally's not in, but they're on track to having their best fundraising year ever. And I'm pretty sure it was all due to us.
Thanks to us. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You know what they won't do? They won't dissect the numbers.
No.
They don't want... There's a lot of quality programming on CFMU programming.
Yep.
And we don't want to besmudge.
No, you know what? Besmudge. Yeah.
Because they're all doing fine work.
They're doing great work.
But we are a fundraising machine.
Absolutely.
And, well, you know what? Chris and I, like I said, we gather here every week. We talk comics. And we start the show always with Chris just grabbing some comics that are hitting your local comic book shop this week. And Chris likes to go through them a little bit, maybe give you a little heads up on them.
Absolutely.
And this week, new this week, is brought to you by, wouldn't you know it, Stella Artois Club Soda.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
The Club Soda in a can.
Isn't Club Soda usually in a can?
I think it's in a bottle.
Oh, well, it's both.
Is it?
It's both. It's
okay.
Both. Yeah, it's fine.
This is a... Yeah, but how many club sodas come in tall boys?
Well, that is very true.
There you go.
All right. You know what? As you said, we are going to look at a few new comics that are appearing on the newsstand this week. And the first one I've got in my hand here is The Beef.
The Beef. Where's the beef?
So you know what? This is a very odd comic, but I like it a lot.
Uh-oh.
It's a... strange...
Who publishes this?
It's by Image.
Image.
It's by Image.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story is by Richard Starkings. The plot and script is by Richard Starkings, as well as Tyler Shaneline and Shaky Kane.
Oh, Shaky Kane.
Shaky Kane.
I knew his brother.
It's doing the art and colors.
Nice.
So, you know what? I love the art. It's very stylistic, simple. has a Mike Allred kind of feel to it. But it's also got a what do you call it?
Jack Kirby feel to it.
No, the guy that does like what's the name of that book now? Hold on,
Pablo Picasso feel to it.
Yeah, sure, that's it. Pablo Picasso. No, it's I'll think of it. Anyways, it's a very interesting comic. It's about a guy. It's kind of like a Hulk kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But when he turns into this beef type character,
right?
He's skinless.
Whoa.
So
just all muscles.
He's all just muscles. So it's a really, really interesting concept. I think it's really neat. I love the art. I think it's a great looking book.
It's a great looking book.
And it's just it's a fun ride.
What number is that there, Chris?
Number two. So I'm gonna have to look for number one. I didn't look at number one before.
All right, well, that covers a good looking book right there. That is The Beef, number two, at your local comic book shop.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Cyberforce, number one. Now, you might be asking yourself, why are we reviewing a Cyberforce comic?
I was asking myself.
I figured that. Well, Cyberforce is a comic that, of course, has been around for decades now.
Some would say too long.
Too long. Well, I would probably be one of them. So, I gave it an honest try. I really did.
You did? And?
It's terrible.
Oh.
It's, you know, I just don't understand some of the writers these days. I think, unfortunately, and I'm going to come out and I'm going to make a comment about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that I think a lot of writers these days, they just want to have the punchline. They just want to have the aha moment in every comic.
Right.
And they want to have it right from the get-go.
Right.
And
instant gratification.
Instant gratification. And it and it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't work.
All too often, too many writers are just trying to shock you from the get-go, trying to get you interested in that. And it's like, you know what? Give me a story that I can sink my teeth into rather than showing me, you know, blood and guts and you know, that shock and try to intrigue me with something I have nothing about.
Now, Chris is using the brand new revolutionary sales technique of panning the crap out of a book to make you go into your local comic book shop and try this puppy out.
Well, you know,
Cyberforce number one.
Hey,
don't believe Chris Owen. Go in and see for yourself.
I review these things. I'm just saying I don't like it. Right. I'm not saying you're not going to like it. I'm saying I don't like it.
All right. Mark Silvestri is an artist on it, so
he's the artist on the cover only.
Right. That's a good-looking cover.
Good-looking cover. It is a great cover. Right. I will give you that. Now, here's something that I'm going to go to that is a fan favorite of both you and I, and that is, of course, Looney Tunes by DC Comics. It's still going. It's up to issue 242.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's got the old Ralph and Sam, Sheepdog and Coyote on the cover. It's, you know what? If you want to get...
You know, the problem with Looney Tunes, Chris, every time you watch one of the episodes, let's say you're watching Ralph and Sam, and at that moment, it's almost like Ralph and Sam are your favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, you know, the next bit is Sylvester and Tweety.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, they're your favorite.
And then
the next one's a Daffy Duck one, and then he's your favorite.
And then Foghorn Leghorn
comes out. Ridiculous.
I used to go in waves. I used to watch... nothing but Foghorn Leghorn cartoons, and nothing but Bugs Bunny, and then nothing but Daffy Duck. You're absolutely right. Every time you watch something, it's you see some new ingenuity in each character, some genius, right?
You know, you and I, again, have said this before about Looney Tunes. You never know what the future holds.
No.
Up until this point in time, in the history of the world, there has never been... Not even close.
No.
To the quality of the Chuck Jones Looney Tunes.
I totally agree.
Like, nothing even close.
Chuck Jones and Tex Avery, you know, they had a chance, you know, when... A little history there. They were sort of shooed away from the Warner Brothers lot, and they were given their own space.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this old, almost barn-type place.
Yeah.
And at first, they didn't like it because they were away from everything. And then they grew to love it because they were away from everything. They had complete artistic freedom to do whatever they want.
It was insane.
It was so bad, they used to call the place Termite Terrace.
Uh-huh.
And because it was just disgusting, infested, and yeah.
Wonderful. Hey, Looney Tunes 242 is at your local comic book shop.
All right. Now, in stark contrast to Looney Tunes, I've got Dark Knight's Metal.
Oof.
And this, of course, it's a great but really weird series by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. I'm really enjoying it. It's of course has all your usual cast of heroes with, you know, Aquaman, Green Lantern, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman. All those usual characters, but they're all different. Sometimes they're all changed versions of them in different versions, and then it goes to, like, the Joker, and it's got Alfred. It's got everybody in it. It's just a great storyline. If you haven't started picking it up, I highly recommend you going back, find some back issues. I'm sure any comic book store worth their salt is going to have back issues of it. Pick it up. It's a great storyline.
Yeah, I think it's approaching... I don't know how long the first arc was, but there's easily going to be a graphic novel either already out or coming soon. So if they don't have the back issues, they're certainly going to carry the graphic novel. Hey, Dark Knight's Metal number 6 is hitting the local comic book shop stands today.
All right, and then we got Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider number 1. So, of course, you know, Marvel's basically throwing everything and anything out these days, and they're going with the whole legacy numbering as well, which I'm surprised that this one doesn't have that. But anyways, Johnny Blaze, they're bringing back Ghost Rider again. You know, Ghost Rider's one of those characters they didn't really use a whole lot for a little while, and then all of a sudden, I guess the rights reverted back to Marvel, and they used it in the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. They had Ghost Rider in there. And now, of course, now he's back again in comics, full force, and part of this whole Damnation storyline going on with Doctor Strange and Iron Fist as well. But anyways, Johnny Ghost Rider number 1, great looking art on the inside. You know, it's an interesting storyline. It reminds me of a Mad Max kind of storyline right now.
Ah, super. So, Chris, what's going on? Like, so hold on, that's Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider number 1. at your local comic book shop. This, what'd you call it? Damnation?
Damnation, yeah.
So, and that's got...
Well, basically, it's a lot of the magical kind of characters. Yeah. So, you know, Iron Fist and Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange. They're all sort of coming together in this whole giant storyline right now with, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, it's an interesting storyline. Focusing around Doctor Strange, though.
Do you find, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Okay. Like the Marvel Universe, yeah. the movies from Marvel, that was kind of like an accident that all succeeded.
In a way. Yeah.
Like Iron Man was like a surprise hit. What the heck did we just do?
Totally.
Oh, whatever. And then it kind of snowballed off of that. And then everyone was a surprise hit, kind of, until they weren't surprises anymore. And then there was huge expectations.
Right,
but when
they
started the whole thing, you can't tell me they had anywhere near the inkling that they
were coming to this. Oh, no way. You know what?
So my point, the second point is the Marvel TV universe was a surprise hit as well.
Was it though?
Yeah, I think coming off a Daredevil movie, nobody had any expectations.
Okay, but
they didn't want any kind of film. They relegated it to a TV series, whatever. Let's make it gritty, low budget. And they go, people love it, right?
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, oh my God. And this and that. And so now it's like the Marvel TV Netflix universe is huge.
Yes.
Bigger than anybody expected it to be. I guess what I'm driving at there is this whole Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange kind of thing. It's almost like they're looking for a place that whole world and universe belongs.
Right.
Like the Cosmic Marvel belongs in the movies.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen Marvel belongs on TV.
Yeah.
Where the hell do you put... Pardon the pun, the mystical arts Marvel.
And this is where, you know, so
we've got... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but the problem is, so Doctor Strange is now part of the movies.
He is, but he's also kind of got a foot into this...
But hold on. So you're saying Doctor Strange is in the movies, but then Iron Fist and Ghost Rider... Iron Fist is in the Netflix series, and Ghost Rider's in the regular TV series.
Yeah.
So I think they didn't really know what to do because they can't really... They can't combine them all into one cinematic thing.
It's too big and all-encompassing, and they need mega parallel projects, containment projects. Like when you think about it, the TV Netflix project is a great run-off side shoot project to keep a whole... A corner of the stable of their characters busy in the public
mind. That's right. Yeah, right? That's
right. And then, of course, Cosmic U.
Well, because you know what? With the Marvel cinematic movies, everything is very larger than life,
right?
You know, so how do you get a character?
I mean, Daredevil.
How do you get Jessica Jones?
Daredevil,
you can almost see, but how do you get a Jessica Jones fighting alongside of... You know, Captain America, Hulk. Iron Man, the Hulk.
Right.
I mean, I think they're struggling already with a character like Black Widow,
right?
Who has skills, but how do you?
Yeah, but they've kind of paired off her and Hawkeye strategically.
Yeah.
Well, because even Cap, really.
Yeah.
So,
he's that born leader, right? So that
they shove him
in that role,
right? So, but anyway, it's cool. I just kind of find it. Like there's almost like this third tier, not tier, but third mega project, like kind of encapsulated project, which is this mystical Marvel, and it hasn't naturally found its proper vehicle home,
right?
Yet
right. Yeah,
to
I agree.
To be consumed
I
by
agree.
Me and you. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
All right.
Finally, I do want to talk about, this is a book I kind of wish I'd kept reading. I read the first couple issues, and I wasn't a big fan of it, but I look back on it now, and I'm actually enjoying the artwork, and I like the storyline. It's Spider-Man versus Deadpool. I thought it was going to be a cash grab for 4 issues, and they would cancel it after that. Uh-huh. But it's up to issue number 30 now, and it's still going. I do like the art. I like the fact it has... everybody in it. It's got, you know, like Cyclops, and it's got the Chameleon, and it's got Silk, and weird shark people, and the Hulk, and it seems to have everybody. The Black Widow, Kraven the Hunter, like, it's got everybody. It's a fun looking book. I just I had kept reading it as an ongoing comic.
It's like a K-Tel album,
right?
It's got everybody in it. Remember you and I were talking about this one before a long time ago, maybe when it was just started, and it's like, I don't know, and I haven't read the book yet, so I don't know, but I don't know if I can take two wisecrackers.
Right.
Only want, like
yeah, it's a lot of, it's a lot, yeah, a lot of wisecrackers.
Who gets the better wisecracks? Yeah, like, yeah, Spidey agree. Is a wisecracker.
Deadpool's
a wisecracker.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you get two alpha wisecrackers. It's like, yeah. Hey, what's the
competing for the best line?
This town ain't big enough for two.
Well, it's kind of like you and me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we all know who the better wisecracker is there.
Absolutely do. Yeah. Absolutely
right,
well, do.
And anyways, that's it. That's all I've got for new this week.
Wow, Chris. How many have you done?
Six, I think.
Six. Wow, that's a lot.
That's,
But you know what? As much as six is, it's nothing compared to what you're going to see.
Thousands.
At your local comic book shop if you walk in. So, hey, go in today, Wednesday, and check out the new this week.
Johnny Ryan. I just came up with that. Remember the guy I was talking about? I couldn't remember his name for the book, The Beef.
Johnny Ryan.
That's it. Anyways.
Johnny Ryan.
Does Johnny Ryan
do those really terrible
Angry Youth comics?
Those are terrible.
I mean, you mean awesome is what you mean. That's what you mean by, when you say terrible, you mean like sick in the bad sense, in the good sense.
Okay, Chris.
Sure.
All right.
Anyways,
I'll let you have that one.
Cross between Mike Allred and Johnny Ryan. Anyways, sorry I had to go back there. I just happened to think of it. Anyways, we're going to continue on and go on to some, have a musical interlude here. And then we're going to come back and talk a little bit of industry news. And I don't know, we'll pick Walt's brain about stuff in general. Here we go. This one's called I Am the Doctor by John Pertwee.
Chris, hey, you know what? McCoy told Kirk when Kirk asked him to put that song on.
What's that?
Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor, not a disc jockey.
You get a million of them. You get a million.
I do.
All right.
I do. All right. Hey, it takes us into industry news. And industry news is brought to us by Remy Martin
Club Soda.
Not Remy Martin.
Saint Remy
VSOP Club Soda.
VSOP Club Soda.
Sure is. Bottled in France. From the bubbly spring near Remy. Because they have a bubbly, natural bubbly spring.
They do, yeah. They have to, you know, I heard that in France, the Club Soda, to call it Club Soda, you can only have
can
from,
only
from
call
the Club Soda
Club
region.
Soda region, yeah. Right. Nice. All right, Chris, what are we going to talk about first?
Okay, we're going to talk about Margaret Atwood, Canadian icon of literature, you know, well known for Handmaid's Tale.
Which have you watched that? I haven't watched it.
You know what? I haven't, and I should, because it's getting all kinds of rave reviews,
so should
winning
I.
All kinds of awards.
Yep.
Of course, it's made into a miniseries by HBO, is what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But of course, the book has been around for decades now. You know, icon of literature.
She is. She's a
really
giant.
Giant, and you know, it's and
Alice Munro, Margaret Atwood. Canada's blessed with Pierre Burton.
Yep.
Mordecai Richler.
Yeah, good call.
So
yeah.
It's like a lot of Farley Mowat.
Farley Mowat. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Was that Call of the Wild?
I think so, yeah. So we got a good, rich history of...
Of literature. Of writers.
Yeah.
So...
Greg Hyland.
So we've got...
Greg Hyland is to literature...
What Johnny Ryan is to art?
No, what Raymond Burr is to pole vaulting.
Hey, you know what? Greg Hyland, he's a hell of a great guy.
And a great writer.
Great
comic timing.
Yes, absolutely.
Greg Hyland, and when he does his gags, his strips, his writing on his cards, awesome on his comics, sorry for throwing Greg under the bus. Yeah. He doesn't listen to the show anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a letter from his lawyer next week. Mm-hmm. Margaret Atwood.
That's right, Margaret Atwood.
So a couple of years ago, she started writing graphic novels. Which still boggles my mind. Uh-huh. She came out with Angel Catbird,
right?
As a guy and like yourself, gone to many comic book conventions mm-hmm. over the last 30 years. It's always weird to see somebody of true stature like Margaret Atwood at a comic book convention, right?
But you know what? That's a bit of a defeatist ghetto approach from us, Chris, that we think that we're blessed with Margaret Atwood's attendance there. I mean, you sit Frank Miller down beside Margaret Atwood.
Yeah, you're right. It's an antiquated way of looking at things.
Right. Old antiquated way. I'd put Greg Hyland beside her any day.
Maybe they'll come up with a comic together.
You never know.
Yeah.
She may need a sense of humor, and he certainly has one.
He does.
There you go.
He does. Now, Margaret Atwood's coming out with another comic book coming out with Ken Stacey, who is an Eisner Award-winning artist. Ken Stacey is also a good guy from Toronto. He's been around for probably since the 70s, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They're coming out with a comic book called War Bears, a 3-issue comic miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And War Bears is basically about...
So like Care Bears?
No. It's basically the story of a comic book illustrator set in the 1940s who's writing a story called War Bears.
Right.
So it's actually more of a story about this illustrator who's trying to make it into the comic book medium in the 1940s.
I get it.
So, if you think about the Canadian whites.
Yeah.
Because it actually delves a little bit into that lineage, into that history about the Canadian, the idea of the Canadian whites. Because in the book, apparently talks about how, basically the
American books are banned.
Well, American books are banned, and then they come back, and the Canadian comic book market crashes. Yeah. Right, so it kind of has a little bit of the Golden Age comics in that War Bears comic.
Wonderful,
so, yeah, wonderful. Interesting, interesting idea.
Now, I think it's fantastic that a writer like Margaret Atwood can see the merit of storytelling through sequential art. That's kind of refreshing to see that a literary giant like that can say, hey, this sequential art stuff is pretty powerful way to convey a story.
Yep.
I'm going to use it.
Why not?
Right? Because she's certainly not lacking for money.
No.
So she's not doing it for anything else other than creative.
Then why not?
Thing. But I guess I wanted to ask you, because remember back in the day, Chris?
Yeah.
When this kind of all started, and I guess it never all started, but when it really became pronounced, remember when Josh Whedon brought Buffy over to comics for the first time?
Yep.
And then remember right after that, Stephen King decided to do
Dark Tower
within the comic?
Yeah.
And comic shops were buzzing at that time with people that have never been into comic shops.
Oh, yeah.
And that helped those two events, like the TV, a TV show coming to comics and Stephen King coming to comics.
That's right, yeah.
Was a massive boom for local comic book shops.
Because all of a sudden, people that would not normally have anything to do with a comic book shop would come in because they're like, well, I really like comics, but I love Stephen King and I've read all his books.
So what's this all about? And then they come in and they realize, oh, man, how many of those people, Chris, decided, hey, maybe I'll pick up a Batman graphic novel, or maybe I'll pick up whatever.
Or, you know what? They don't want to pick up Batman. Maybe they don't want to pick up the local Spider-Man graphic novel. But maybe a person coming in for that Dark Tower because maybe they like more they feel like there's not enough meat on the bones of actual comics, because they're again, like I was just talking about, have an antiquated view of things.
Right.
But they may be picking up like a Mouse.
Yeah.
Or a Watchmen.
Or even Why the Last Man.
Or Why the Last Man, like right? Maybe they look at superheroes as a poor man's, you know, mm-hmm. way of writing.
That's the wrong way to look at it.
It totally is the wrong way. But you know what? Interesting. But you know what? I wonder if one day, you know, you might see more schools having required reading of graphic novels.
Right.
If now all of a sudden we're getting, you know, literary giants in that novelized world of Margaret Atwood and Stephen King coming to comics, I wonder if now we'll find more graphic novels.
Okay, Chris, remember when you and I were both fans, and I think we're just basically fans of the covers, right? Of those kind of, what would you call them? Those smut publications of the late 50s, early 60s, where it was just racy novels. It wasn't pornography, even. It was just racy novels.
Yeah.
But the writers had to change their names.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't want to be seen as writing a racy novel, right?
Yeah,
and then
right.
the covers were kind of racy, but the covers had fantastic art, usually painted art,
awesome
and stuff
artwork.
Like that, of like situational, sexual kind of, you know, guy and a girl
stuff,
in the hotel room. You know, the innuendo and all that kind of stuff. I forgot where I was going with this. But I guess my point is that just because it's literature doesn't mean it's good.
Absolutely.
Those stories were terrible. They were
awful.
Written terribly. They were, the guy was just churning them out.
Yep.
And Harlequin romances are formulaic, and they're written hastily and stuff. There's no, you're not going to tell a kid to go read a Harlequin romance if you want to educate the kid.
No.
So, you know, when you get literature, you get good literature and bad literature. And it's about what that piece of literature can convey in terms of the idea and in terms of opening a person's mind.
Absolutely.
Well, your and my argument has always been that sequential art can do the same.
Absolutely.
There are great examples of sequential art being mind-bending.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are great examples of sequential art being crap.
Yep.
Just like in mainstream literature.
Just like
literature.
Everything else. Yep.
So the point is, the educational system has to reach that point that they recognize that and say, hey, you know, I think, I don't know, we'll just use Watchmen or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the kids should read the Watchmen and write an essay on what the person's trying to come across, right?
Yeah.
Because, or Mouse or something like that.
But you know what? Even if you want to get into Canadiana, you can look at like the Louis Riel graphic novel by Chester Brown or things like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, so if maybe you don't want to have it be fiction, but you can certainly, there's lots of nonfiction stuff.
I think that's a little
well.
Different. I mean, that's a little different in the sense that they're taking his history and they're putting it in sequential art format for the consumption to be easier by the kids.
But why not, though?
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I'm talking about sequential art as a piece of art.
Right.
As a piece of literary art.
Yep.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yep.
This isn't, my kid doesn't want to read text, so I'm going to draw cartoons and tell him about Louis Riel.
Right.
Even that's the dumb way of saying it. But it's more like, whoa, they should really read this because this is amazing.
This has a good story to
it.
Yeah.
And this is really kind of fundamentally important piece of fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I guess we'd want it to get to.
Right.
And there, I think there are enough of those important enough pieces of fiction
that comics have produced
for them to be on curriculum.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Right.
Awesome. All right. Well, anyways, so that's coming out. What do you call it? What's it called here? War Bears. Sorry.
War Bears.
That's coming out in September at a local comic book store for $4.99.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, Chris, well, what else we have? Hey, you know what we should do?
What should we do?
I think this is going to be show one.
Show one.
Of the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We gotta get people ready. This is the last show in March.
Okay.
So the next show is in April.
That's right.
And then we got a few shows in April, four shows in April, getting people ready for Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, that's right. Yes. May the 4th? Is that what it is?
Whatever first Saturday in May.
I think it's May the 4th. May the 5th, because May 5th? The 4th is a Friday, I believe.
Right. Okay. So. So we are drumming up interest that your local comic book shop is the place to go on Free Comic Book Day. I think next week we'll try to get Chris that list that we usually do every year.
Yeah.
And we'll review like the gold and silver sponsors of all that.
Nice.
To see what books
now,
are coming
out. In the years past, you've had events going on for Free Comic Book Day. Dare you tell the listeners what you're doing for, or is that a secret?
No, I don't think it's a secret. I think we're getting a couple of artists.
Yeah, yeah.
We're getting a couple of artists come in. We have a big tent outside the parking lot out front.
Nice, nice.
I think we get the Hamilton Public Library to come.
Yep, perfect.
And they come in, and I think they hand out library cards.
Oh.
And I think we give an extra free comic if you show your library
card. Oh, very interesting. Yeah.
Last year, I think we had... the Oxford Learning Centers.
Nice.
So, you know, those tutoring company.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
I guess
do.
That's a plug. I don't know if I should have done that or not.
That's fine.
Yeah, they were there. They set up a table, you know, because that's the kind of May into June. It's that last push
Why
for
not?
Good grades,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So they like to participate in that and just hand out their flyers and inform the parents on what their company
Perfect.
Does.
Great.
Yeah, we have the artists. I think we had digger bins outside, like just cheapy comics
you
can dig through. I think last year, Chris, we had some sort of balloons or face painting, for kids.
Now, in the past, you've had cosplayers show up.
You've had you know the best one we had?
You had a magician one year?
Well, that was the one, Chris. It was, like, fantastic. So, one of our managers at the time, she came and said, "Hey, Walt, I got this magician coming." I go, "Oh, that's a great idea." Right? And so then I said hi to him, and he said hi, and he was all happy because there were lines. There was lines to get the comics.
Yeah.
And the lines were long. Sometimes you had to wait 6-7 minutes in line.
Right.
But there's this magician walking up and down the line.
Doing tricks
and keeping the people occupied.
Yeah.
And I go, that's great. And then like the next week came, and I got like an invoice from him from like $800. I go, that's terrible. Who invited this guy? Oh, my God.
Oh, but you know what? It was well worth it, right?
No, it wasn't. For him.
Right.
I thought, Chris, this is what I thought. I thought they come, they hand up their card. Hey, I do birthday parties.
Yeah,
you know, bar mitzvahs. Hey, I do weddings, whatever. And it's like, whatever. So Free Comic Book Day. Every week you're going to hear Chris and I... trying to drum up support for
absolutely,
make sure that you, you head out to your local comic book shop on Free Comic Book Day.
Are we ready for another musical interlude here, or what do we do?
Well, what are we going to tackle next? Where did you want to go into? The movies or the... All right, let's do a musical
interlude. Let's do a musical interlude. There's nothing wrong with ever having music, and it's always good to get things going. Let's have... hold on, what's this
music
one?
Music is... it's good for the digestion.
This one is actually by Josie and the Pussycats, which is, of course, one of the Archie characters. Stop, Look, and Listen.
Fantastic.
I don't think I've ever played that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good
really
one.
Like
yeah, that's a good
It's
one.
Got a good groove to it, a good vibe.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, Chris, brings us to part two of Industry News, and it obviously sponsored by Remy, same Remy, authentic VSOP club soda from the natural spring bubbly region of France.
We should visit there one day.
We should.
Yeah, we should. Really should.
We're waiting for an invite from
from France.
From Remy. Hey, Chris. You know how you and I, we champion the local comic
book. Well, of course we do. That's our job.
Here at CFMU, 93.3 McMaster's award-winning radio station. Thanks to us.
Thanks to us.
You know, we talk about basically comics. We're here to talk about comics and comics. Really, we're doing a quick little history lesson here, Chris.
History lesson.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like, comics started in 1933,
right?
With Funnies on Parade and famous Carnival comics and stuff like that. And those were basically reprint from the Sunday papers,
right?
And I think
Charlie Gaines,
yeah. And I think you're looking at, I don't know what year, I'm going to lie, but say 1935, maybe would have been the first year, maybe where they started to produce comic content.
Original content.
Specifically for the comics.
Right.
And then 1938 hits, and that's Superman comes
right.
out. And then the superhero concept is created.
Yep.
And just, you know.
And boom.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Right? So, but really, like, the birth of modern pop culture probably predates that by a few years. I would say the start of, like, the pop culture that you and I know and our kids and our parents knew and our
kids, whatever,
probably was around 1928-29 when Walt Disney created Mickey Mouse.
Right.
I would say that's kind of the beginning of modern popular culture.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
You know, because it's a few years before comic books.
We had, I mean, modern pop culture, yes. I mean,
modern pop culture.
Something that
mass consumption pop culture.
But you got to remember, though, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to say one little extra point.
Okay.
You got to also remember that at the time, in the 1920s, 1910s, there was no televisions around, so people were getting all of their entertainment from newspapers and newsprint.
Right.
So comics at that time were a huge deal.
That's right. Well, so the Sunday Funnies.
Sunday Funnies deal. Were enormous, yeah. So... Mm-hmm. It didn't translate up until now. Or like, we don't. There's nothing really. Like, there's no Yellow Kid comics now.
Uh-huh, all right.
You know, nobody remembers that stuff. But I would still say that you could say that that was a form of pop culture then. But
yes.
The one, the big, the smashing success was,
that we
was,
know,
was
like
Mickey
that
Mouse.
Mickey Mouse stuff. So you know, and most of the properties that we know, the characters, the things that we know, are post Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Current in pop culture, in comic book culture, can you name me 7 or 8 or 6 or 5 important pop culture creations that are pre-Mickey Mouse going into the 19th century, let's say?
Pre-Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like going into the 19th century, these are characters that we know and love today, even in comics.
Okay.
But they don't have to be comic book characters.
Yep.
They can be just pop culture characters that have been tried in comics.
Okay.
So don't think comic titles or anything like that.
Okay, yeah.
Even though a couple of them are.
Yep.
And tell me some, like you said, Yellow Kid, no.
Yellow Kid, no.
Catchjammer Kids, no.
Catchjammer Kids.
Gasoline Alley, no.
Growing Up Father, you know? All that stuff, yeah.
So,
I get what you're saying. The first one I'm going to say is Popeye.
Popeye.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay,
Popeye.
Popeye's. Now, when Popeye came out in the 20s, no?
Yeah, I think so. Or even the teens, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, Popeye.
And that came out in a Thimble Theater comic strip.
That's right.
Way back
That's
in the
right.
day. So, yes. And that was by E.C. Seeger.
That's right, E.C. Seeger. So, Popeye is definitely one. Can you give me a couple others?
Sure. Now, we're not talking just comic strips, but something that may have existed back then but still exists now.
It was pop culture.
So I'm going to say it's a Shadow.
Like, I don't have the Shadow, but the Shadow is totally good. The Shadow.
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers is perfect.
Tarzan.
Tarzan is excellent.
I'm going to say Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon is excellent. Now, even though Flash Gordon may have been in the early 30s,
Was it 30s?
It was post...
may have been...
Buck Rogers, too, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah,
all
I
right.
think those
okay,
two guys are early 30s. So.
I could be wrong.
So you got Tarzan.
Yeah.
Let me give you one.
Okay.
Okay, this is where I'm going with this. Sherlock Holmes would be one.
Oh, yeah, Sherlock Holmes.
He's a literary creation,
but
he's popular culture.
He is popular
now.
Culture, yeah. Did I say The Shadow?
The Shadow, you did.
Okay.
How about John Carter?
John Carter, Warlord of Mars, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been one.
Is that pre-1920s?
That's 1911. Oh. Did you know that John Carter predates Tarzan by 1 year?
Really?
Interesting. Yeah, okay. Edgar Rice Burroughs. Yeah. He created John Carter first.
Oh, interesting.
And then in 1911. And then he created Tarzan in 1912.
All right. Now,
going back, okay, we're forgetting one huge one. Huge. In comics, in film. Popularized by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, I was going to say Conan.
Of course.
Conan. Was that is that back then?
I think Conan was, that would have been 30s, though. You're right.
I thought it was a little later.
Early 30s.
Still. That's still.
Yeah, but it doesn't predate Mickey Mouse.
All right.
It doesn't make
no.
But here are three.
Okay, hold on. Well, give me a hint.
Okay, these would be literary creations of the 19th century. One of them of the 18th century. But these are massively popular, iconically, easily identifiable fictional characters.
Okay, so hold on. So would you say like Frankenstein or Dracula?
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Those are good.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. How about the Three Musketeers?
Yeah. Okay. How about Invisible Man?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know when The Mummy came out, though.
I don't know.
But, okay, so, I mean, that's basically it. I didn't really have a direction to go with this, but I just wanted to name a few. But it's funny how, you know, because we kind of relate everything to comics when the comics
and
the things created in comics. But there's some, like,
very iconic,
really iconic old characters that, it's funny how those creations of those days.
Yep.
Some have adapted so easily to our world of comic books, and some haven't. Like Jekyll and Hyde haven't.
No.
Right,
but yes and no. I'm gonna say yes and no. I think Jekyll and Hyde himself has not. The concept has survived
Hulk.
And surpassed
with
characters like the Hulk, or even the one I was talking about today, this Beef character.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah,
the concept is alive and well for sure.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if we're forgetting a few, and obviously we didn't even touch on folklore, right?
Then
you're going into Hercules and Thor and all that kind of stuff.
Or mythology.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this is, I guess, what my point was. The cool thing about this was, and the great part about these characters, like Sherlock Holmes and stuff, is a lot of these are public domain characters.
Yeah, they are now.
You talk about the billion dollar industry that these superhero or iconic character pop cultures is. Some of this stuff you can have a go at.
Anybody can.
Anybody can write a Sherlock Holmes novel or a.
Right, film. I think, you know, there are a lot of Sherlock. Case in point, Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
There are a lot of Sherlock Holmes. Purists out there, right?
Yeah,
and they're the kinds who are saying that, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle. You know, I only stick to those ones, but then they'll say, okay, well, as long as it's okayed by the estate of Arthur Conan Doyle, mm-hmm. right? Then they're mm-hmm. okay with it. And I think a lot of people will go along with that notion, whatever
that happens to be.
Enough. All right, but yeah, well, I mean, it's like Phantom and
listen, I've consumed over the last 3 years
a lot of
three
beer.
Different,
oh, sorry.
A lot of beer,
yeah.
Club soda, sorry, don't say me.
Sorry.
Three different Sherlock Holmes ingestions. One was with that old guy in the Sherlock, like the old.
Oh, I
Sherlock.
Watched that. That was good.
Fantastic.
That was good. Yeah, that was
with the bees. You know,
yeah, that
bees.
Was with Ian McKellen. That was an aging Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, my God. That was a lovely movie.
Yeah,
I loved
that
movie.
Yeah.
And the second one is with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
The films.
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
And, yeah, absolutely. They're
I really
great.
Enjoyed it.
Great take on the character.
And then Benedict Cumberbatch there.
He's amazing. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Love
those.
Fantastic,
those ones. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So there's an example of three different interpretations of the same character.
Yeah.
If you have a strong character and you do the stories right, they can be from three totally different perspectives.
And they are.
And they're fantastic.
And they are, yeah.
Right?
I love it.
Hey, so let's stay on that theme. Talk about another interpretation of a pop culture character that's just gone gangbusters.
Who's that?
So Black Panther.
Yeah.
Has now surpassed $630 million domestically, making it the number one movie of all time, superhero-wise, in North America, not accounting for inflation, which is just unforeseen.
Yeah.
and a fantastic thing that happened. And I think it bodes well for, like I said before, all those B-list characters that, that you know, us comic purists didn't think had a chance at the movies. But
So globally, globally here, you gave me a note here, and I didn't realize it was this high. Globally, Black Panther has now earned $1.2 billion.
Yeah, it's
globally.
Made just as much, basically.
And the only one it's trailing is the two Avengers previous movies.
That's right.
That's right. Crazy.
Yeah.
At least in the Marvel Universe, anyways. Yeah. $1.2 billion
globally. It's a bona fide hit, and it's a smash hit and stuff. And but you know what it is? It was like... it was an early release. It was the first superhero movie out. Remember in the old days, like 5 years ago, when we all thought that the May Free Comic Book Day weekend movie
was the start.
Was going to be the not the start. Was going to be the star.
Oh, right, right.
That's the one that was going to win the year.
Yeah.
In terms of box office gate, because the company prized that weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was the one that was going to be the star.
Yeah, but that usually, it also generally started the Marvel superhero generally, of the year.
But there was movies before.
Yeah.
Just like now, this one came out in February, for Christ's sakes.
I know, right?
It's like, you know, who cares about a February release? And here you go. So,
but now it shows it doesn't matter when it's released.
That's what I'm saying. Now it shows doesn't matter where they're released. Now, of the ones that are left, like, I think they're all going, okay, which one of us is going to be in second place?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no possible way we can catch...
No, not at all.
This. No. Unless...
Well...
Avengers Infinity War.
Avengers Infinity War, which opens now domestically in North America and Canada on... North America and USA and Canada, I meant to say. On April 27th. They moved up the day from May the 4th to April 27th.
Yeah.
And that's... Already they're saying it was the... Well, I read an article saying that Fandango, who sells movie tickets online in the States, was saying that it already surpassed... in 6 hours, what the previous sales had, top grossing sales had done for a 24-hour period, and it had done it in 6 hours.
Wow!
So you know, I mean, I already have my tickets, and I bought tickets for a whole bunch of us. So I went out and bought 11 tickets all at once. Right
now, Black Panther's in this movie.
He is.
Yeah, which is good because the movie's getting the boost from, you know, the most popular.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? Thor Ragnarok came out last year.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And those characters are going to be in it. Like, everybody's going to be in this one. Everybody wants to see how has Marvel done it that they've managed to somehow get, you know, 20 characters.
Yeah.
Big characters all in one movie.
Is Spidey back in this one?
Spidey's back in it too.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Spidey. Everybody's in it.
He's my favorite.
Is he?
Yeah. Like Spidey, the character.
The character.
Not his movies. His movies.
I knew Spidey the character was your favorite.
Yeah,
but what of the movies? Which is your favorite of the Marvel movies? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, my favorite so far of the Marvel movies, like since Spider-Man the first one or Daredevil, whatever the heck it was, since the 2000s, right? Since this whole thing started.
Yeah.
Even counting Sony and Fox.
Oh, okay, everything.
I think Cap 2.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I have to say that my favorite is the first Avengers, because that's a movie I can watch relentlessly over and over again.
Yeah.
But a very, very close second is Cap 2, The Winter Soldier. It's such a great spy movie.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a great movie. And then how about, from the also-rans.
Yep.
Now, let's you and I quickly, Chris, critique each one and give it what kind of chance it has on a success.
Hit or miss.
Deadpool 2.
I'm going to say hit.
Hit. And that's where they're swearing and it's X-rated.
It's R-rated. How about it's X-rated?
Hey, back
it's getting
off.
A little blue in here. Mm-hmm. Deadpool 2, yeah, it's going to be a hit. I'll tell you why. It's going to be Ryan Reynolds is going to steal the show again.
Yeah.
I think it's, but I think this, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make a prediction here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the Deadpool 2, it might be the end of it after that. I don't know if people can handle too much of that shtick. Right? Because it really is a shtick.
Right.
It's how much more of that same old
shtick
can people handle? But I'm going to say hit.
Okay.
You?
I'm going to say hit because hit in a way that it's for that movie. So they're not looking for $1 billion.
Right.
They know it's a niche kind of cool movie that the you know right. even though hipsters yep, not yep. hipsters but you know what I mean people yep. that like it will like it
right
so they're gonna cash in and it's gonna be a success
right
how about Ant-Man and the Wasp releasing in July
and that's gonna be a success that's because you know
think so yeah, that might be the miss
no you know what I'm gonna here's what I'm gonna tell
this is what you're gonna tell
this is what I'm gonna tell you It's going to do well because it's going to come off the heels of Marvel Infinity War, and they're going to be so rabid for more of whatever that's going to give them
uh-huh.
that in spite of how bad or good it may be,
yep.
it's going to do well.
All right.
Because I don't think it's going to be a miss. I think people are going to go to it. People like Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp is going to be interesting. So I think it's going to be a hit. What about you?
Miss.
Really?
Yeah. Venom, coming out October 5th.
Well, you skipped a few there.
Well, just by...
By two, that's
yeah.
fine. Okay, Venom.
By date, I'm going chronologically.
Oh, I see, sorry. Venom.
It's tough. That's call. A tough one. You know what the problem is? You know why you and I can't call Venom?
Why is that?
Because we're old.
Well, and you know...
You know what I mean?
You know what?
It's like I don't want to go see Venom.
I can't remember. I don't know who the director is. The only saving grace that I can see that Venom's going to have right now is the fact that Tom Hardy is playing Eddie Brock.
Right.
And Tom Hardy's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see him signing on to be something or making a terrible movie. So yeah. I'm going to say a hit for that one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to call. I can't call it because I think a hit because the young people will go see it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
How about X-Men Dark Phoenix?
That's a miss.
That's a miss, that's too. A miss. That's the one I think is going to be a miss. There's so many X-Men.
So, and they're all bad.
Yeah.
Well, most
there's
of them
so
are bad.
Many X-Men's, and yeah. there's the expectations for each X-Men movie diminishes each time. Yeah. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And finally, Aquaman.
You know what?
I think it's going to be a miss.
I think it's going to be a miss.
I think they're
going
to dud it.
But. I don't know.
That's going to be a miss.
I think it's going
to
be a
this
miss.
This is the one I'm cheering for the most out of all of these.
Yeah.
This is the one I want to be the surprise hit.
So do I.
This is the one I want to be the little gem that's
you
like,
know what?
Oh, that was a fantastic little movie.
But
I want to go see that again.
But right? it might be because here's what I'm going to tell you.
This is what you're going to tell me.
I didn't think Deadpool would be that good. And it was awesome. And I think Aquaman, if it... has that magic that Deadpool has, not in a shtick way, but in a wow, that was a really interesting film. Like that was really neat. Like I really enjoyed that film.
The Deadpool.
If Aquaman does the same thing that Deadpool kind
right.
of did.
Right.
If Aquaman can find its niche the way Deadpool did, it'll
right.
be okay. But as a straight out superhero movie, I don't know.
I think what Aquaman has to do, honestly, it has to differentiate itself from the rest of the Warner
Brothers.
That's
what I mean,
movies.
Yeah.
First of all, how do I say this? The Superman movies stink.
Oh, it's terrible.
They stink. And the Batman movies are like too brooding.
Well,
I never liked them. I'm one of the only guys that didn't like the Batman movies, the Nolan Batman.
I like them, but
I didn't like them at all.
I like them for Batman. I don't want to see Superman in a brooding movie. I don't want to see Wonder Woman in that brooding. I'm okay with Batman being in that dark space.
The reason
space,
why the Christopher Reeve Superman movie worked was the innocence, the naivete,
right.
the fun,
right.
the whole thing. The smiles,
yep.
You know, the little gleam on the teeth,
yep.
the tooth, whatever
that
you want to call
it. And
that's
what Superman needs.
Yeah.
And that's why everything else besides the Batman movies, it doesn't work because they're trying to recapture the Dark Knight
yeah.
with but they're using Superman or
right.
Flash.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. I actually like, I don't know if I'm going to be struck down by a green lightning bolt.
It might be.
I actually like the Green Lantern way better than the Superman movies.
I did. You know what? I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Because it was kind of, you know, different. And
it was boring, but at least it was interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't even that boring. It was kind of cool.
But it was interesting.
Yeah.
I was just bored by the Superman movies. I didn't find them interesting at all. It was just
now,
one
the best DC movie, not counting the old Christopher Reeve movie, because that
yeah.
was the best one ever,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
Including Marvel. But the Wonder Woman movie was good.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Because, again, that found the right tone.
Right.
Right.
It was kind of her own movie.
Yeah.
And she went with it.
It wasn't a dark, brooding movie. It didn't try to be something it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
Okay. Now, I'll put you on the spot here.
Okay.
I'll put you on the spot. But,
yeah.
What DC character would actually work in a movie? Like,
well, any of them can work. They're just not doing it right. They're, you know, Superman can work. Why not? They've done it right before.
Yeah.
Why can't they do it right again? But the problem is they're trying to, you know, they seem to think that it has to be dark and brooding and mysterious.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Captain America wasn't like that, and it worked. Right. And Iron Man wasn't like that, and it worked.
Yeah.
You know?
You think they can take some of those, just, you know, remember how Fantastic Four is a bad example, because even the modern reincarnations are crap. Remember that really bad made-for-TV Fantastic Four movie in the 90s?
The Harvey Korman one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course...
Or Roger Corman,
rather. Harvey Korman, yeah. Tim Conway was trying to make him laugh during the whole... Guess what? Nobody was laughing at that. The Swamp Thing. I was thinking of the Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you think of that? Remember the old Adrian Barbeau movie, The Swamp
Thing? Yeah, I remember it. I can't forget Adrian Barbeau. Yeah, who can forget
both those movies? Is it only one movie?
Well, there was.
Okay. Like, I liked that movie, but I was a kid then.
Right.
And I thought anything was cool when you're a kid.
Yeah, you know what?
Like, something like that would work.
Why not?
Like, sure, Alan
why
Moore not? Take yeah. on it or something.
Well, you know
like
what?
That?
They did a Constantine movie that I thought was decent. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of people didn't like it because it was, you know, Keanu Reeves. It wasn't, a Sting-like character, right? But there's lots of DC characters that can do well. You know, why not have
Red Tornado?
A Red Tornado movie. Or why not have
Power Girl.
Power Girl,
Has she ever been in a movie?
No, sadly.
No?
No, no.
She's never been in a movie?
No, Power Girl has ever been in a movie.
That would be good.
I'd love to see that.
Now, you'd know this. I don't know. Have characters like Poison Ivy...
Poison Ivy was in one of the early Batman movies, one of those that last terrible, terrible, terrible one before they rebooted it with the Nolan movies.
Right, like
what's her name was played Poison Ivy? I don't remember her name now.
Uh-huh.
Who she was? A girl, the woman who played in Kill Bill.
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman. She played Poison Ivy. Do you remember that? And then they had Schwarzenegger.
I didn't see any of this.
Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Ice to see you.
Yeah, they had some Mexican wrestler playing Bane, and
oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was forgettable.
But you know what? They tried to make that franchise into a parody of itself,
uh-huh.
which I get why they did it, because that's what the original, you know, Batman 60s show was like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think there's lots of characters out there that they can do. Why not have, they've done Suicide Squad, which was okay.
Right.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But they could do all kinds of movies like that. Why not do, like, you know, why not even do, like, a Sandman, like a Neil Gaiman Sandman series?
Fair enough,
You know, or like, Tales of Suspense, Unexpected Tales, and have those characters like Cain and Abel in it and all that kind of stuff.
That'd be cool. Right? Or if you really want to space everybody out, do a Kirby Fourth World cinematic.
Yeah, movie. Actually, I heard somewhere they're thinking about doing that.
Really?
They're thinking about doing a New Gods thing.
That would be cool.
I'd love to see that. Apocalypse and Orion, and hey, you know what, Mr. Miracle is a great comic right now, so why not?
Yeah, you're right. All right, Chris, listen, we have to cut this thing off because our hour's gone already. Hey, Comic Culture is produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. If you have any comments on the show, go to comicbookdaily.com, go down to the comments field, and just let her rip. Let us have it. And please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.